I'm sorry, I'm not one of them. There are days I actively choose. I actively choose to trust and believe in God because I choose to remember all the times that God has been faithful to me and my family. There are other days when I ride on the faith of my community, of those who pray for me. Days like when I did not know I would have the strength or how I would have the strength to lead a worship service after a terrible loss. And I have learned, though in my fallibility I do forget at times, I have learned God is faithful. Still, I confess that there are times when I envy those with the gift of faith. I envy how they're able to easily surrender their need for control to God. Even in the midst of very difficult circumstances and heart-strangling conflict. It is rare, oh so rare, that I do not wrestle with the biblical text before me, trying to understand its time and place in history, the ethno-cultural factors that impact word usage and reflect tradition, the different voices and political circumstances that might have influenced the sacred text, but appear to us as one single voice. And the list of all that I grapple with is terribly long. But I return to this holy text because of the truth. Because of the truth that I find in it. I'm always drawn back to the sacred text that is inspired by God, breathed into life by God. And despite the hard work that it takes me, despite the times I feel like pulling out my hair, I return. There is a precious life-giving truth that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. In the mystery of God's revelation, but also through the gift of community, the gift of music and the arts, through the beauty of the earth that surrounds us. So coming to our story this morning, I have a lot of empathy for Zechariah, who is an ordinary man who's been praying for one thing for an extraordinarily long time. What is implicit in our gospel lesson is that Zechariah would have been praying fervently for a child, and probably a son, let's be honest, not for months or years, but decades. And there came a time when he accepted that because of his old age, that it was unlikely for him and his wife, Elizabeth, to conceive. But then there is hope. Powerful and dangerous. This powerful and dangerous hope was based on the miracle of Isaac, the son that Sarah bore to Abraham in her old age. And quietly, in secret, Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, she too has been praying for the gift of a child. And like Zechariah, there came a time when she accepted that because of her old age, it was unlikely for her and her husband Zechariah to conceive. But there's hope. Powerful and dangerous. This powerful and dangerous hope, based on the miracle of Isaac, the son that Sarah bore to Abraham in her old age. But life goes on. Whether your father-in-law has been in ICU for over a year or your daughter is suffering from an addiction, whether your nephew hasn't been able to find gainful employment despite his academic credentials for the last decade, or your spouse has chronic pain, whatever trauma, pain, or difficulty life throws at us, life charges on whether we want it to or not. So bills have to be paid. People have to work. Food has to be put on the table. Sick ones have to be visited. And the list goes on. And life goes on for Zechariah and Elizabeth. But quietly, in their mourning and in their grief because of their childlessness, they still choose to live a blameless life according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, and they choose to live righteously. They each do their duty, Elizabeth at home, and in the occasion of our gospel reading, Zechariah at the temple, day after day, year after year, decade after decade. But there's hope. Powerful and dangerous. And on this particular day, Zechariah is the priest who is chosen by lot to perform priestly duties in the sanctuary of the Lord, to offer incense. And as he goes about his priestly duties, there is a crowd. The assembly is the crowd. There's a community of people praying outside. Maybe praying prayers like, God of my salvation, I've just lost the land that has been in my family for generations. What am I to do? Heavenly Father, my daughter died in childbirth 15 years ago this day. Will this grief ever leave? Holy One of Israel, when will these Romans leave us alone to worship you and worship you alone and allow us to govern ourselves? Light of my salvation, thank you for the work I found yesterday. Today I was not chosen to work in the fields, but I choose to trust that you will provide. God of mercy, thank you for the gift of this temple where we can come and worship you. And we pray for our priest Zechariah. He is so faithful and does what is good and right. Have mercy on him and his wife who are childless. Loving God, hear my prayer. What is my prayer? What is your prayer? Where do we place our hope? Powerful and dangerous. Back in the sanctuary of the Lord, Zechariah has just finished his duty and was about to head back to the crowd of people praying when an angel of the Lord appeared before him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Fear overwhelmed him as he remained frozen where he stood, his heart racing as if he had run a half marathon. And in his terror, he felt like he couldn't breathe. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Zechariah does not need a PhD in biology to know that the likelihood of Elizabeth, a wife whom he genuinely loves but is getting on in years, will bear him a son. He knows he is old. Rub salt in the wounds, why don't you, angel of the Lord? But once upon a time, people did not believe that germs not visible to the naked eye could cause infection. Once upon a time, people did not believe that man or woman could fly. But raise your hand if you've ever traveled on an airplane. Once upon a time, there was an ordinary priest who knew it was highly improbable for his wife to bear him a child when an angel of the Lord appeared before him and gave this ordinary man the good news of a child that would be born of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. The God in our holy scriptures is a God who works mysteriously in flesh and blood. We are made in God's image, made of flesh and blood. And it is we who are to live out the words that God gives us. But because of free will, you and I have choice. We have the choice whether or not to live out the word of God. But what word of God is whispering in your ear, in my ear, in our ears as the body of Christ, the church. For Zechariah, there was no whispering. There was no way to hide behind excuses like, maybe you just imagined the encounter with the angel. Because you see, in his disbelief, the archangel Gabriel strikes him with silence. But honestly, can we blame Zechariah for his disbelief? Was it really fair of the archangel to make Zechariah mute just because he asked, how will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years. Is that not a reasonable question to ask? But maybe it's not about fairness. Maybe it's not about punishment. Maybe it's about God working in a dangerous and powerful hope that's come into fruition. Maybe it's about God working in flesh and blood that has been made silent. About 10 years ago, I experienced my first silent meal. I'd gone on a private retreat to a convent in which all the meals were taken in silence. The only talking involved was the grace at the beginning and the blessing at the end of the meal. And as many of you know, I can be quite the loquacious interlocutor. You see, that sounds much more intelligent than I like to talk a lot. Anyway, I cannot tell you how awkward and uncomfortable I felt during that very first meal I had in silence. I could hear each clank of metal forks against knives as people sliced their meals into bite-sized, chewable pieces. I could hear the clinking of plates and cups as people put their dishes onto the trolley when they were done. I remember not knowing where to look because it felt so unnatural to look at someone and not speak. An awkward smile might be exchanged upon an unfortunate glance at another pair of eyes and a quick dip of the head to return to your meal. But when the meal was over, we had to sit in silence until everyone else was done. And the nun would lead us in the closing blessing. And so we sat at the table in silence, speechless. And that lack of chatter, that silence, paradoxically, it was deafening. Silence. Being left speechless. Where is the gift in that? Maybe the gift was in that Elizabeth could ignore her husband because he couldn't tell her what she wanted to and maybe didn't see him waving at her. How many of us have conveniently tried to ignore our spouse sometimes? Not me. It's a gift that Zechariah didn't have to answer his wife if she wanted to know something. It's a gift in relinquishing control to the giver of life, who never abandons us, no matter the harshness or tragedy of life. Hope, powerful and dangerous, present in Zechariah and Elizabeth, who will go about daily and faithfully in their regular routine. Hope, powerful and dangerous, present in the community outside that is praying and also waiting for a blessing from the priest. Hope, powerful and dangerous, present in the angel Gabriel and the good news he brought to flesh and blood. Flesh and blood in disbelief, forced into silence, yet still blessed with the gift of answered prayer. A heavenly visit was made to the one who chose to still follow the ways of the Lord. A heavenly visit was made to someone who belonged to a praying community. A heavenly visit was made to the one who placed his hope in the God who freed his people from slavery, who brought a people back to the homeland after being forced into exile, despite having unanswered prayer for decades. Hope. Powerful and dangerous. Where do you place your hope? In whom do you place your hope? The angel replied, I am Gabriel. I stand in the place of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. Amen.